Hey there, and welcome to the Rock Reavers podcast. Here we're all about believing and proclaiming the word. We're totally given to true worship and obedient in taking the gospel to the nations through missions. Thank you so much for tuning in. We hope that you'll be blessed by this message.
Amen. The book of Luke chapter 5, I will read for you today from verse 1 to verse 5. Please remain standing. So it was as the multitudes pressed about him to hear the word of God. They pressed about him to hear the word of God. That he stood by the lake of Genesaret and seeing two boats standing by the lake. But the fishermen had gone from them and were washing their nets. Now when you study that, it was not a washing for cleanliness. It is a washing for disappointment. They had tried this thing and it was not working. In fact, Bible scholars have argued that this was not their first day of unproductivity. They had been unproductive for quite a while. And then he sat on one of the boats, which was Simon's, and asked him to put a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the multitudes from the boat. Verse 4 says, and when he had stopped speaking, he said to Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch. Let me read that one more time. When he had stopped speaking, he said to Simon, do what? Launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch. Repeat with me. Launch out into the deep. And let your nets out for a catch. Just find for me a believing neighbor and tell the neighbor it's your time to launch out to the deep. Eh? You have been shallow for too long. You neighbor, you should be deeper than this. Neighbor, you should be, especially if you're sitting with your wife or husband. That says, just look for somebody, please. Come on, talk to me. I'm going to be talking for the next 1 hour. We might as well interact a bit. Just find for me another neighbor. Tell them, neighbor, you need to go deeper than this. You need to be praying more than this. Neighbor, you need to be dressing better than this. Neighbor, your bank account, that bank account needs to launch out to the deep. Neighbor, your career, you have been in this level for too long. You have been having Kenya shilling account for too long. Neighbor, you need to open some multi-currency right now. Just tell your neighbor, launch out into the deep. Come on, look at the other one, tell them, launch out into the deep. Amen. Now you can sit on your challenges. Amen. 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 Are you ready to launch out into the deep? So the month of July, we just want to take time and begin to look at what does it mean then to launch out into the deep. According to the book of Luke chapter 5 and verse 4, the argument is that the harvest is in the deep, Abby. That the harvest is in the deep. Jesus came and he began to speak to them. And as he spoke to them, Adelaide, he told them, I need you to launch out. Now, let me ask you one question because you're very good Bible scholars. Did the lake change or was it the sea? Let's look at verse 1 again. He says it was the lake called Genesaret. Uh-huh. Did the lake change? Come on, talk to me, somebody. Did the lake change? I've not even started preaching. Well, we are just talking a little bit small. Then I preach. Did the lake change? Ask your neighbor, did the lake change? The answer is no. Did the boat change? Emmanuel, did the boat change? Okay. Did the people change? Why is it that you're not saying no with conviction? No. Huh? You must say no like you mean it. Did the nets change? No. Did the people change?
No,
so why is it that there was a difference? That the same lake that you were in before, now you go in and you get a catch. That the same boat that you are using before. That is why I've argued severally. The economy has never been a problem for anybody. Amen. Yeah. Hallelujah. Yeah. The economy, tell your neighbor, the economy is not your problem, baby. Yeah. Baby, you don't have an economy problem. I don't know what's wrong with this church this morning. Touch somebody, tell them you don't have an economy problem. That's why I'm excited with what the parliament is doing. Say, what kind of pastor is this? I'm really excited. They're just showing us how well we can pay tax. Amen. Praise the Lord. If there is a time we're about to increase in wealth, oh my goodness. I don't know if I'm in the right church. If there's people, I can see people who are getting ready. If there's a time you're about to receive abundance, Bwana asifiwe. Let me ask you a question. Do you like anointing oil? Do you like oil? Say yes with conviction. Do you like oil?
Yes.
Can oil come out without pressing? That means that the kingdom standard is every time there is a pressing, then there is a demand that has been met on the anointing. Oh, glory to God forever. Many single people will say, I've not started preaching. We have missed you guys. We are just talking. We are catching up. You know, many single will realize, many single people, if you examine how you got your husband after you transition, you'll realize the day you stop praying for your ex is the day you got husband. Because now there was a press in your heart. And as the arrogance of the ex was pressing your life, husband was produced by the anointing. Amen. Abby, am I speaking to somebody in this house this morning? Amen. So we're going to take time. Believe me, this is a very serious subject. I'm just warming you up. Amen. So we are going to take time this month to launch out into the deep. And we'll focus on four main things. The first one is going to be dealing with the past. Look at your neighbor. Tell them, neighbor, you, neighbor. Neighbor, don't marry my English. You, neighbor, you need to deal with your past. Look at them again. Neighbor, I'm not prophesying. I know this for a fact. You need to deal with your past. And then for the next three Sundays, we'll just be looking at other subjects which we'll be sharing with you. But something will happen on the last Friday of this month. That is the 28th. We want to invite all of us, and we are going to be doing prophetic prayers that will break stagnation. Tell your neighbor, prophetic prayers that will break stagnation. Amen. Well, please go with me to the book of Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1. The book of Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1. Today I want to take some time and just look at the four prisons of the past. I'm very proud of this message because if you Googled it, you will not find it anywhere. You know, Kenyan preachers like copying American preachers. If you look at all the books in this world, Elizabeth, Nyawira, you will not find anything like that because the Lord Jehovah downloaded it to me. Yeah. Praise the Lord. You have a pastor who hears the Lord. Glory to God forever. What kind of church is this? A church where the pastor hears God? This is the kind of church you belong to. Amen. Therefore, let me tell you this message, Daryl. Oh my goodness. The four prisons of the past. Yes, sir. So God began to speak to me heavily on Monday, and I was caught in the spirit. And I saw a vision. By the way, just in case you wanted to know, my wife nowadays also has an S problem. Sometimes we have infected each other, but I've resisted R and L, just like I'm resisting Githeri. So God spoke to me, you know, as we like chicken, pork chops. We are catching up, church. God began to speak to Bebe. I'm revealing too much, Naban. So God began to speak to me so powerfully on Monday, so powerfully, and I was caught up in the spirit. And God showed me four men, and they were in a prison. And the funny thing about these men is that they had really big eyes. And their big eyes were white, and they were looking unto heaven. But the challenge is that their bodies were completely malnutritioned. And I asked God, what is this? God said, these are those that have received the illumination of the scriptures, but they have refused to transition into what the scriptures talks about. That I have come to a place of revelation, but I have justified that revelation and discounted the power thereof and refused to leave from my past. I have a word for you this morning. And he showed me then are the four prisons that the past usually deals to human beings, that the past deals to individuals. But before I dive into that, I want to show you something in the book of Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 1. Scripture says that God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners spoke unto the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, Jesus Christ. Let me say that one more time. Has in these last days spoken unto us by his son, Jesus Christ. Stella, what that means is the only person who's permitted to speak to you is his son, Jesus Christ. In these last days, the only voice that is permitted to grab your attention, the only voice that is permitted to be in your spirit, the only voice that is permitted to instruct your life is the voice of our Lord Jesus Christ. And there are all kinds of voices, and there are all kinds of people who are talking to us, and there are all kinds of directions, and there are all kinds of prophecy. But God told me to remind us this morning that in these last days, how has he spoken to us? He has spoken unto us by his son, Jesus Christ. And the challenge is, many of us in this walk that we are walking, we are listening to all kinds of voices, and we are interacting with all kinds of people. In Proverbs chapter 13 and verse 20, Solomon said, "He that walks with the wise shall be wise." In the kingdom of God, there is a principle I call the principle of infectious symbiosis. That because you are walking with somebody, whatever they carry begins to rub on you. Bwana asifiwe. That if you walk with the wise, God has ordained that because of fellowship and association, wisdom begins to rub on you. That if you walk with them that are succeeding, because of the anointing of God on his word, success begins to rub on you. That if you walk with women and men who have come to a healthy realization that family is God's plan and they're serious about family and they're investing in their families, when you begin to walk with such people, did you know that sometimes marital healing is just finding a marriage that works and be going there and taking tea and just show up and say, "I just came to clean the house. You know, I came with some shopping," to begin to receive something. Because he that walks with the wise shall be wise. There is a kingdom principle that says if you want to understand business, after you finish praying in tongues, look for a business mentor and hold their hands. Yes, hallelujah. So who you walk with matters. But there are three kinds of people that we find ourselves walking with. There are people who I want to regard as the yesterday people. And then we have the today people. And then we have the tomorrow people. Now, this is not new. This is not original. This is from just much reading. But when you study the scripture, you'll realize that God does not have three time zones for human beings, but he has only two. Bwana asifiwe. There is the past. Somebody said the present, right? And the future. Because that's what we've been taught. But when you read the scriptures, there's only the past and the last days. There's only the Old Testament and the New. So anytime you are interacting with Jehovah, the God of the Bible, there is the timeline called the past. And there's the timeline called the last days. The past is all that time before you met our Lord Jesus Christ. The last days is after you meet our Lord Jesus Christ. That is why he has been coming soon ever since our forefathers were there. Why? Because as soon as you meet our Lord Jesus Christ, you enter into a time called urgency. Yes, sir. Now, God is saying here that you need to now begin to spend your time. Remember, he said in Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 1, that in sundry times, in the past, he spoke to our forefathers. How? By the prophets. But in these last days, he has spoken unto us by our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, have you ever realized that Jesus is all about your future? Jesus is all about where you are going from this moment on. And that is important because when you begin coupling with people who are talking, let me give you a big key here. If the people you are hanging out with are not talking about your successful present or your glorious future, they are probably talking about you. Let me say that one more time. If the people you are hanging out with, listen to me carefully, they are not talking about your present success. They are not celebrating it. They are not talking about your glorious future. They are probably talking about you. And it is important now for us, if we are going to come to a place where God is bringing us, we have to open up our ears to what Jesus is saying about our latter day. Here is the second scripture. In the book of Romans chapter 5 verse 1, he begins to show us something concerning where we are right now. And this is important. He says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, in whom also we have access into this grace wherein we stand. Buona sifiwe. Let me take that one more time. He says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. Now, as good Bible students, you agree with me that there are two kinds of peace in the New Testament. There is peace with God, and there is the peace of God. Very important. The book of Romans chapter 5 verse 1 does not deal with the peace of God, yet we have the peace of God. He argued in Philippians chapter 4, is it verse 18? He says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer, supplication, with thanksgiving, make your request known unto God. And then he said, the peace of God that surpasseth understanding will become the security force around your heart and around your mind. That is the peace that God has. That is the shalom of God. That is the peace that gives us strength, even in difficulty. But Romans chapter 5 verse 1 doesn't deal with the peace of God. He deals with peace with God. This is important. Romans chapter 5 verse 1. He says, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. That means that the demands of justice has been fully met by the blood of the Lamb. That there is no longer an enmity between you and God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Tell your neighbor, neighbor, God is not pursuing you. Come on, tell them like you believe it. God is not pursuing you. God is not pursuing you. Listen to me this morning. God is not pursuing you. The blood of Jesus has fulfilled every demand of justice. Scripture says in John chapter 3 and verse 34, he says that he that does not have the Son does not have life, but the wrath of God dwells on his head. That is not you. Because you have already received Jesus. And by receiving Jesus, there has become a separation. We now have peace with God. That means we are at peace with our Father. He said in Galatians chapter 4 that you shall call me my Father and I shall call you my sons. That is comforting. We have a Father in heaven, a Father, not Lord, Father. He's talking about a Father here. So there's been a reconciliation of relationship. God is not pursuing us. But he said we have peace with God, and because of having peace with God, we are able now to stand on grace. Tell your neighbor, position. Says, by whom also we have access into this grace where we stand. I'm saying this many things to say only one thing today, which is the four prisons. How is four prisons one thing? It is four things in one. Hallelujah. So he said that we are now standing somewhere. Look at your neighbor. This, I have to come slowly. You are standing somewhere. You are standing somewhere. Come on, you are standing somewhere. Now, where you are standing, you didn't always stand there. You didn't always stand there. Somebody has brought you there. Look at Colossians chapter 1, verse 13. He says that by his divine power, he has translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood. That's KJV. Now, NKJV says... NKJV is crazy. NKJV says, by his divine power, he has rescued us from dominion and conveyed us. The picture there is the picture of a conveyancing belt. It's a belt you stand on, and then it conveys you to a position. That is the work of Jesus on the cross. That means you are not where you used to be. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. You are not where you used to be. Hallelujah. You are not where, tell your neighbor, you are not where you used to be. You have now been conveyed. You have been conveyed. You are now in a new position. Now, anything that does not agree with that position is a lie from the enemy. Hallelujah. Anything. That is why yesterday people have discovered a dictionary of what you did last year. Anything that does not agree with this position is a lie from the enemy. Hallelujah. And must be rejected ab initio. At first instance, when you hear that voice must be cast down because we are now in a new position. Hallelujah. Now follow me, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, I'm in verse 17. He says, if any man, that is, if any fornicator, if any drunkard, if any addicted to sherehe, past addicted to sherehe, amen. If any man be in Christ, he is right now a new what? Are you listening to me? If any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Now I have a question for you. If you read that scripture yesterday, what would it say? If any man is in Christ, he is a? If you read it last year, what would it say? If any man be in Christ, he is a? Meaning you have a prophecy from God. You have a prophecy from Jesus that insists you are a new creation. You have a word from God. Says, no, but I'm just coming from closing my business. No, God is saying, if any man be in Christ, you are a new, right now, you're a new creation. Right now, you are a new creation. Now, come to Isaiah chapter 43 and verse 19. Isaiah chapter 43, verse 18 and 19. He says, forget the former things, for behold, I do a new thing. Shall you not perceive it? So he's saying that I'm doing a new thing, but because of your mind of the past, you are not able to see what I'm doing with your life. You're not able to enter into what I've called you into because your mind and vision is in the past. He therefore lifted up his voice and says, forget the former things. Here is prison number one. Prison number one is called the prison of former things. The prison of former things. The prison, this is the most dangerous prison. The assignment of this prison is to suggest that your best days are behind you. The assignment of this prison has been designed to constantly show you how you won in the past and how you might never win again. How you used to do big business in the past, but you might never do it again. He says, forget the former things. When you read that in the Septuagint, he's dealing with forget the victory of Egypt. Yeah. Because prophetically, there were two deliverances. I'm in the Bible now. The first deliverance was the deliverance out of Egypt. And then in the book of Judah, God comes and speaks to Judah and tells Judah, because of your disobedience, you are going to be occupied. And then using the prophetic message of Daniel, God begins to speak and says, I will now remove you from Babylon, and a little shall become a thousand. He says, a small nation shall become a big nation, and your day of victory shall come. So he's dealing in Isaiah chapter 43, verse 18 and 19. He's talking about the deliverance of the children of Israel from Egypt. Now, let me talk about Egypt a little bit, because sometimes if you are living in Egypt, Jericho cannot be in view. Let me say that one more time. The prison of the former things is not the prison of the former failure. No, it is the prison of the former successes. Yeah. That yesterday, it seemed like you did so well yesterday. You know, somebody said, when we were young, we used to fast. Almost to suggest that those days are gone. That, you know, 5 years ago, I used to do contracts. Right now, you know, you're not understanding. You can see I've gone back to Japan. I used to be in Germany. I know those ones who are catching me in the spirit, you're catching me fast. I used to be in Europe, but now I've gone to Asia. But God is on my side because I used to do. The prison of former things has a lot of used. I used to. And it challenges your ability to rise again. It challenges your ability to rise again. It gives you the perception. And the challenge is, you like talking about it. And even the world loves it. The world wisdom says, don't you remember the good old days? And sometimes it is so much that some of us, have you found yourself just going to your high school? Not to minister Jesus, but you just want to go and sit on your seat because you still remember how you used to be number one. You still remember how you used to be the head boy. You used to be head boy. But right now, life has dealt you a blow. Immediately you come out of high school, it's trouble again. But you want to go back because those are your altars of victory. The prison of the former things deals with those of us who have made altars. He says, you know, my ex used to buy me flowers every Wednesday. And then I'll be like, Bebe, did you just say ex and flowers at the same time? But Bebe, if flowers was the key, why is it that it didn't work? The prison of the former things refuses to give you the vision and focus to enter into stretching and growth. The challenge of the former things is this. The prison of the former things is happy with the Red Sea parting, but never has Jericho in view. Because there is greater conquest ahead. And it's a call to examine what then is the size of our vision. What is the size of our vision? What is the size of our ambition? What is the size? What does your 20 year look like? It's called the prison of the former things. It's the most subtle of prisons. And it's the most dangerous of prisons. Because its assignment is to keep you celebrating crossing the Red Sea, but never entering Jericho. Yes, sir. Forget the former things. For Joshua to be able to deal with the battle of Jericho, he had to forget the things of Egypt. Four things happened in Egypt. Four things. The first thing, let me show you something interesting. The first time we see Egypt in the scripture is when Abraham is undergoing famine in Canaan. Yes, sir. And he goes to Egypt for provision. And when he goes to Egypt for provision, how we know that things are a bit to get thick. It is because they collect his wife and they add her into what we called the royal harem. Now, the royal harem was the chamber of the king where he had his four legal wives and as many slave concubines as possible. And then what they would do, they would get some castrated men, eunuchs, to go and guard them. Oh, yes. Why are you saying oh yes with so much phenol like this? Abraham comes to get provision and they collect his wife. That is Egypt for you. They do what? They collect his wife. Then God intervenes. God intervenes, and what begins to happen is the wife is returned. Aya. Second thing that happens to Egypt, some time passes, and all of a sudden Joseph is sold into Egypt. So it was the place of captivity. But within Egypt still, Joseph comes to a place where he rises and he becomes the prime minister. But over time, scripture talks about that there rose a generation that forgot Joseph. They were rising in number, but dwindling in power. And they would say, you'd hear them talking about, remember the day when Joseph used to be prime minister. Remember the days when we were in charge of the granary. In fact, scripture says that Joseph negotiated for the children of Israel to have the best pastures in Egypt. Remember the days when we had the best pastures in Egypt. But there was rising a generation that will kick the children of Israel out of Egypt. The fourth thing that happens in Egypt is the plagues that resulted into the exit of the children of Israel out of Egypt. There is immense victory in Egypt, but Egypt must never be confused for Canaan. Yeah. Let me say that one more time. There is immense victory in Egypt. Somebody said, we just hired our 10th employee. It is victory on victory. This indeed God's hand is on this business. But could it be that that is Egypt and God is calling you forth to come to Canaan? Hallelujah. There is a challenge that is coming from the pulpit today to level up your game. If your best year is behind you, you are in the prison of former things. Anytime your best year is behind you, You are in the prison of former things. The prison of former things will deny you the milk and honey of Canaan. You'll experience the best pastures of Egypt, but you'll never sit at the throne of Jericho. The prison of former things will ensure that you don't take risks and never grow. You will embrace a place of comfort and tranquility, thinking that God is there. Yet God is beckoning you to come to Jericho and to enter your large place. Do you know somebody? I know it's not you. Do you know somebody who is in a prison of former things, former successes, former glory? Listen to me and listen to me good. Look at Ecclesiastes chapter 7 and verse 8. He says that better is the end of a matter than the beginning thereof. And I want to make a declaration here. Your better days are ahead of you. Let me say that one more time. Your better days are ahead of you. Let me say that one more time. Your better days are ahead of you. Hallelujah. I don't like your faith. Your better days are ahead of you. Amen. Get out of the prison of the former things. Come out from that prison. The problem with that prison is this. You are unable to see what God is doing. It says, forget the former things. For behold, I do a new thing. He says, now it shall spring forth. But you can't see it. The prison of the former things makes sure that you have an excitement of victory, but you never have a vision for victory tomorrow. Hallelujah. Don't lift up your hand. There are people here who have prayed for issues. There are people here who are struggling with alcoholism, and you fought a strong battle in fasting and in prayer and in all manner of things, and you came out. But now it has become a prison of former things because you are drinking while sharing this story. Man, there's a time I used to pray. Eh? This thing, alcohol, I dealt with it a long time ago. Pour for me some more. Some of us, some people fought with fornication. Strangling the cobra. That's what men call it. Is that what men call it? What kind of pastor is this? Yours. And they fought that battle. And they won that battle. Right? But now they're in strangulation and they're like, Banange, but I won this thing. It's called the prison of former things. Which, are you in the prison? Ask your neighbor, Are you in the prison of former things? Are you in the prison of former things? The prison of former things sabotages your next step.
Yes, sir.
Somebody says, you don't understand. You don't understand. What do I understand? You don't understand. In my previous job, you know I'm an employer. I know what I'm talking about. I'm an employer. We have employed. Yes. Which kind of pastor is this? The employing one. So people come and Mbaji, they're employed, and you know, the first week is the best week. You know, you're observing. Somebody says, is there no lunch here? Let me even start with the other one. There's lunch. Let's start with that one. There was lunch. And they say, huh? This lunch, is just rice and beans. Is there no beef? You don't understand where I used to work. Have you heard that one? We used to have liver, chicken. It was 5 proteins and a half a carbohydrate and dessert. Those days I used to work to KCB. Shut up your mouth. You're not in KCB now. Now you're in a gacha cop. Hallelujah. Now the problem is, do you know your next step never looks as glorious as your previous? Because your previous step, you have experienced it. You have seen it in the flesh. Your next step is in the spirit. And the leadings of God are deceitfully small.
Yeah.
Do you know what is the biggest door in your life looks like this, the biggest joke in the spirit? You are just like, what? I was working for Google. You know, we had key tags. You'd enter. You biometrics. We had these seats. These seats, you know, they were supporting your lumbar vertebra. C6, C7, and C8. Just to ensure correct ergonomic posture. Can I tell you about the environment? We used to have air condition. You know, there's a difference between air condition and climate control. When you enter things like this climate control, there was an optimum temperature of 22.8 at all times.
Yes,
just to ensure that the brain is firing from all engines. Now I have entered Nyayo House, registrar's office. They're like, God, what is this? In my previous employment, are you seeing? And then that cuts off your progress in that organization. Because you are in the prison of former things. Instead of rising up and bringing climate control. Let me ask you a question. Why do you think it looks like government service is stagnant? Because anybody coming from private sector, you, I'm talking to you, you. You come from private sector and you enter government and the only thing you can talk about is how it was nice working for Safaricom. We used to have team buildings and we would fly. Here we're talking about there isn't no team building or there's team building on budget, but you know where the budget goes, right? On budget it's there, but it's not there. We used to talk about it and you have refused to rise and you've cost our government. You know, I heard our CS speaking about how now we are coming to a digitized government. It was so exciting. But any class 2 child right now can suggest the things the CS is talking about.
Yes, sir.
Okay. It's called the prison of former things. Kenya, we are there. We are right now, we are right there. You remember the days of Kibaki? Oh, man. In five short years, that's a prison of former things. Its assignment is to cut the growth possibility and to cause you to constantly look behind. Now, if you're looking behind, where is the future? You don't understand. The last time I opened up my heart to debt, my heart was broken. You don't understand. That is also called the prison of former things. You're in prison. I came here and said, receive your husband now. You said amen with your mouth. You are playing games with the pastor even. He says, yeah, I'm saying amen because, you know, I don't want them to see. I'm not saying amen, but my heart, eh? Yeah. Why can't you date? You know, the problem is I've been exposed to very sophisticated life. There is this guy I dated 10 years ago. Wasaga. There is this guy I dated 10 years ago. You don't understand dating. We used to. Where is the growth? It's called what? The prison of? It's called the prison. It's a prison of success. But it's success behind you. Bwana asifiwe. Look at your neighbor. Tell your neighbor, you have to come out. You must come out. Yeah, that's, you know, people, when you're dealing with the past, you have to come out of past successes. That one is a big one. You have to come out from past successes. You must rise against past successes and come to a place where you do what? Where you forget the former things and open up your eyes to see what God is doing right now. Bwana asifiwe. Hallelujah. Your best days. God called me here to tell you one thing, that your best days are ahead of you. Your best days are ahead of you. I don't care if you are just coming from a divorce. I don't care if you're just coming from closing business. I don't care if you're just coming from quitting your job. Your best days are ahead of you. It doesn't matter if the city is not receiving you yet. It doesn't matter if you're putting out stuff and nobody is listening. Your best days are ahead of you. Hallelujah. Your best days are ahead of you. They are ahead. The reason why anatomically your eyes are in front of your forehead is because God was prophetically telling you something, that I want your eyes to always be ahead. Amen. The best days of Kenya are not behind us. Listen to me. The best days of Kenya, they are not behind us. There are, by the time my grandchildren are walking this, let me tell you, we're about to disciple Africa. The best days of this nation are not behind us. They are ahead of us. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. He said, better is the beginning of a matter than the end. Better is the end of a matter. Ecclesiastes chapter 7 and verse 8. Better is the end of a matter than the beginning thereof. Let's even stop there because we're out of time. I'll deal with the other 3 prisons next Sunday. I want us to make 2 prayers only. And the first prayer is that God will give us the awareness to know. Have you found yourself where, you know, you are the cousin who built a house? You are the one who built a house. And you're very proud of this house. In fact, every time there's a family event, you want to suggest people should come to your house. Because you are in the prison of the former things. While God is rising you up to sort housing problems for your generation, you are too addicted with the small house you built on the backside of Kitengela. Which is a big achievement. Don't get me wrong. But the prison of former things has a way of making you feel now you can retire. Now you don't need to work again. Now you don't need to cast vision again. Now you don't need to hustle again. I want us to make a prayer today. Listen, this is your level that you are in here. This one, the level you are in right now. Baby, you have not seen God yet. Because, did you know there is no arriving with God? Yes or no? Because if tomorrow we read the same scriptures I've read to you today, he will say, behold, I do a new thing again. There is no reaching. Bwana asifiwe. That is why there are people here who, you know, and we talk and we are close, and you're very excited that you're finally giving 100,000. You know, I thank God so much that this is one of the best giving churches in this city. Amen. Praise the Lord. We've never sold oil. We've never sold portals or soil, sold handkerchief, nothing. But people are here giving. You cannot imagine. This is the, I'm telling you, look at your neighbor suspiciously. Your neighbor is giving really well. People are tithing. You know, but you know, you have come to a place now you can finally comfortably give 10,000 and you are shaking like you get an asthmatic attack. God is saying, there is more. There is more. There is a dimension called 100,000. There's a dimension called 200,000. There's a dimension called 500,000 giving. Bonus if you. I'm not trying to collect offering, I'm just giving examples. Somebody look at me suspicious. They say, I knew all this time you are just coming here. Praise God. We know we have been taught these things of work hard, get some small money, get deposit, buy a car, pay loan. Prison of former things. There's also purchasing cars with cash. Pastor Kev spoke about it last Sunday. Bwana asifiwe. Praise the Lord. Reject former things. I want us to make a prayer of awareness, yeah? In the next few minutes. We still have 5 minutes. Think about it. Your economic behavior, where did you get it from? Somebody taught you. Did you take time to investigate what they taught you? Did you take time? Your financial objectives, the last Sunday will be dealing with breaking the curse of poverty, not the way you think. It will not be with anointing oil, it will be with wisdom. Yes, that's where it is there. We're coming to that. Breaking the curse of, not with with oil, but oil is part of it. Have you taken time to investigate the financial principles that you're building your life on? Have you questioned them? Who taught you? Have you taken time to investigate what trainers called career growth and career prospects? I'm a career person. This is my career challenge. Have you taken time to investigate what entrepreneurship is, if that's your line, and the level of business you're doing? And who told you that is your level? Who told you? Why have you owned that level? Praise the Lord. Now, Wasaga, I want you to play for me your Alpha. So much. Just lift your left hand. Lift your left hand like this. Let me ask you a question, you people of God. These hands of Wasaga, do they look like yours?
Yes, sir.
Can I call you to play for us your Alpha right now? Can I pour oil? I like pouring. Can I pour oil for you until you play your Alpha right now?
Praise the Lord.
Church of our Lord Jesus Christ in Kenya, especially you Kenyans, we must rise up. We must rise. Miriam, can I pour oil on you right now until you play your Alpha? It doesn't mean I'm not anointed. Man, I'm an, oh my goodness. You guys, you should be enjoying me right now when I'm still available. Hey, when I'm still, you know, when you can still come and greet the pastor. Aye. Soon you'll just be tuning. I don't know where I'll be. I can pour oil and I'm an anointed man full of grace, but I can pour oil and pray, but that prayer is a prayer of foolishness. Because playing that your Alpha, there are different dynamics there. So this your level, eh? Who has told it is yours? Why have you owned it? You have rented for too long. What makes you think you should be renting in your life? Right now, how do you know right now you should not be on your second house? How do you know? There's no way of knowing, but how do you know that you should be on your second house? How do you know you should not have moved already? How do you know? Why have you accepted it? Is it fear? Why are you accepting it? Somebody said, you know, you have to budget. You need to cut your coat. Eh? What was that? Cut your fabric. Cut something. Which proverb, which chapter and verse is that?
It's a Malawian proverb.
It's a Malawian. break from former things. Let's rise. I want us to pray a prayer of awareness. That God will open your eyes. Peradventure briefly. That you will capture the glimpse of glory. Of what he has called you to do. That you'll capture the glimpse of glory of the grace that is in your hands. That you'll capture the glimpse of glory of the strength that is in your children. That you'll capture the glimpse of glory of the strength that is in your anointing. Of the skills that you have. That you will see who you really are in God. That you will see your position in Kenya. Listen to me, somebody in this church this morning. You are playing too small. You are playing too safe. There are some things that God has prepared for you. But you are focused too much on what you did yesterday. You are focused too much on how you succeeded in school. But you're not in school anymore. Now you're in the marketplace. It is time to rise. Now you're married. Husband, rise. Wife, rise. Now you're in business. Entrepreneur, rise. Open up your mouth and just say, oh God, I pray today that Lord, you shall break. You shall cause me to come out of former things. You shall cause me to come out of former success. In the name of Jesus, this life is designed from glory to glory, from glory to glory, from glory to glory. That glory of last year is too small. Enter into your large place. Let me say that one more time. That glory of last year is too small. Enter now into a higher place, into a higher dimension. Trust God. Come on, lift up your voice. I can't hear you, church.
Thank you for sticking in to the end. We hope you are blessed by this message. Follow us for more of these messages when new episodes drop, and make sure to rate us so that more people can find out about us. Bye-bye.